Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Braun, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
I'm good, mate. Since you started talking about boxy little cars from Japan, I'm on the carfromjapan.com website. You talked about this on the last show.
What?
And I am just looking how much it would cost to get a Suzuki carry truck from 1996 to Southampton Port in the United Kingdom. it's relatively affordable. But, I mean, I don't know
how
what
much?
I'd do with it. $5,000?
Oh,
that's not bad, is
reasonably...
it?
It's not, but then again, I think it's the all-time question, why would you want to do that?
Why would I want to do that? I mean, I'd get it here, and then I'd just be like, yeah, what's that? So that's $2,500 for, like, a dirty old truck from Japan, and it's got the keys. And, I mean, it's manual, so I couldn't drive it. I'm just looking at these cool fucking van. I guess I'd have to have it insured here, and I'd have to put a license plate. I'm out.
Whoa.
Sounds like too much admin. Sounds like too much admin, mate.
You say you can't drive manual? You can't drive manual?
You can't drive manual? No, I can only drive automatic, because I just knew...
What?
You only drive your own car, don't you? So, I mean...
No.
Just choose a car that's automatic. It's just easier to drive, isn't it? Like the Americans.
I think it's important to learn manual. I think it's important. Like,
I don't think
it is. What if we're like running around in Japan during a zombie outbreak? I'm like, quick,
right.
Pete, get the car. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do. I can't drive manual. And we get eaten by zombies.
I'll
rubbish,
do
Pete.
It.
It's
I'll
not good
do
enough.
It in a. I'll do it in a. In first gear. I'll just do it in one gear. I can get in the gears. I just don't have the. And to be honest, if I'm in a zombie apocalypse, I'll just fucking figure it out. Who's going to tell me off? The fucking... The police. Please drive more considerately in the zombie apocalypse, please. I'll say, up yours. Your jurisdiction ended when the zombie started appearing, dickhead.
you were the worst person to be around a zombie outbreak. I want someone who can open and get into all the cars, drive all the cars,
All right.
Manual, automatic. He doesn't drive a 1996 Suzuki wagon or whatever the hell it was called.
I'd have room for a rear-mounted cannon.
Honestly,
yeah, no,
you're the sort of person...
It's difficult. It's difficult to drive manual. I never bought to learn. And all the new cars are all the new electric cars, they're all automatic. There's no gears anymore. Just get over it, gearheads.
That's true. I haven't driven a manual in a long time. All my cars were manual up until 2015, I think, right?
Yeah.
I had this Toyota Starlet from 1995 when I was living in Sakata, when I was a teacher. My colleague Dan had just given it to me. He was like, he was from New Zealand, and he just sort of worked out it was cheaper to just give it to me than actually scrap it. He made it look like he was doing me a favour. He definitely wasn't, because I had to pay lots of tax on it. But it was like really run down, but it did the job, and that was manual. And then about a year after that, I just forgot how to drive manual. And when we did Natsuki the movie in 2017, where you were there, after we met Pete Donaldson and we did the scenes at Pete's radio station, back when he was a famous radio DJ, before he gave it all up to be a podcaster, Natsuki and I had to go to France and film in Paris. And we got to Heathrow Airport, and British Airways, all the flights were cancelled because someone at British Airways had trod on a cable and fucked the whole IT, and they still do it even to this day. Good old BA. So I realised the only way we could get to France that day was for me to drive, and I rented this car, the Citroen, and it was manual. And I'd forgotten how to drive manual, and I just could not get the car moving, and I couldn't get it out of the car park. And the guy at the car rental place was like, "Sorry, mate, I can't let you leave until you show you can operate this vehicle."
Oh, really? Wow. Let me out the car park. Well, that's not going to increase the stress, is it? Good God.
I know, right? Fair play on him, though. I mean, if I'd gone out, I would have killed everyone. Me, Natsuki, Asamir's wife, up in flames on the M25. But I then realised I was only using one foot, and for manual, you need both feet. You need to do the clutch.
Oh, what, you were like swatching it over to like accelerate and then putting your foot on the clutch and then... Okay, cool.
I was trying to drive a manual car like an automatic. Yeah. Absolute moron. Well, but after like 10, 20 minutes, I got the hang of it again and he let me out.
My partner drives the clutch in the manual, and she finds it very difficult to switch to the old automatic Fiat because obviously she's used to using both feet. Which I just sounds exhausting. It's just the car. We've had automatic cars for years. Why do we need them? Why do we need them? Oh, it's efficient. It's not though, is it? Don't worry about it.
So I want to see you buy the Suzuki. It'll just end up sitting on your driveway and rotting away, no doubt. But you should buy it anyway. You should do it. Do it. Yeah. Make a video. I bought a 1996 Suzuki Swift.
All right, fine.
Whatever it's called.
Cool.
Do it.
It's just this, the YouTube screenshot of me going, "Oh, I'm a fucking idiot. I can't believe this. It fell in the water in Southampton at the docks." I am doing this only from the loveliness of my soul. We're not getting paid for this, but I noticed a pretty interesting little video game coming out pretty soon. Actually, might take ages. I don't know.
How much have you been paid?
No, I noticed it's called Shashingo. Learn Japanese with photography. I think the person who created it may be a listener, because I think that's why they started following me and presumably you as well. And they've made like a little video game where you wander around a town in Japan, presumably, and every item, every like post box, every car, every tree, you can go up to it and like take a picture. So Shashingo, photograph, and go, obviously, language. And then it sort of tells you what that is in Japanese, and kind of, it's basically a language learning sort of aid. And it's not something I've ever seen before. And I'm just saying this because I was just genuinely, oh, that's interesting. I replied to the person on Twitter and said, this looks good. So keep an eye on it. I don't know when it's coming out, but I think you can wish list it, so presumably it'll happening sooner rather than later. But it looks good. Looks cute.
It does. I've never heard of this. I'm just looking it up now, and it looks really quite cool. I'm the sort of person who learns things through doing and getting, actually, like, I can't sit, I can't read the textbook. I've probably got undiagnosed ADHD. Starting to suspect. I can't do it. I need to be doing things. So this could be kind of cool. Shashin means photo. Go means go. So, photo go. It's quite a good idea. I hope it actually releases. You can check it out. I'm watching like a YouTube video on it, and the trailer came out in June. So, fingers crossed, it'll come out. This is the sort of thing we need. We need like these sort of things, though, for learning Japanese. But I met up with Felix PewDiePie. I was giving him advice on learning Japanese, and like the resources that I gave him or like told him about was stuff that I used, you know, when I first came here 10 years ago now. I feel like there are some good things. There's a app, there's a website called OneEKani that a lot of people use, and that uses like a cool memorization technique with like sentences, and that's quite good. But like, most of the resources are still textbooks. So I'm open-minded to things like this. Make it happen.
Look, again, I'm not getting paid for it. We're not getting paid for it.
Bollocks, you definitely are.
Imagine like, you know what I'm like, and you know like how much money I spend, I am with money and stuff. Do you think I'd ever have a conversation with someone and go, "Look, oh, we're fucking mentioning your little game on your Broad Japan podcast. Don't you worry about that, mate. You just get that money in my back pock." Like, I'm so uncomfortable talking about money at the best of times.
No, you're not. Yes, I think you got given $5,000 to promote Shashingo, and you're going to spend it on a Suzuki.
I love $5,000.
Car.
I've just paid a fucking almighty tax bill. I'd get, look, if anyone's fucking listening, I'd give me any amounts of money and I'll say something on the podcast. Give me any amounts of money.
I just love the idea of you just like in the middle of London and someone just like handing you a parcel full of money to shout out some sort of flimsy product.
Yeah.
Pete is easily bought. Go and give him some money, guys, and he'll shout out anything you want for money.
Correct.
We got a story this week from Tom, who begins, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I know that you guys often joke about fax machines on the show, so I thought I'd send in a story which adds to the mountain of reasons why fax machines must go away within Japan. Go away. Fax machines be gone. I mean, I bought one last month just for a video. I've never used it since. Yeah. I regret buying it.
Straight to the landfill. You're a disgrace, sunshine.
It'll be fucking shipped to your house. You'll probably enjoy it. You'll probably use it. My wife is part of a group of Awadori dancers who used to perform multiple times a year. Unfortunately, due to COVID, most of the events have been cancelled this year. Except one event. To join this event, though, the leader or organizer of the group must submit a formal application to the event organizers to join the rest of the groups who perform at the event. And you can only apply via fax machine. Unfortunately, the person representing my wife's group chose to do it. So he sent off the application, and though he got no reply, he thought it was done and dusted. A few weeks ago, though, the group received an email from the event organisers apologising that no one had properly checked the fax machine and that it was now too late for them to fit them into the event. Who was to blame? No. The event organisers for not checking the submissions, the representative of my wife's group for using a World War I tool, or the very device itself, the fax machine. Well, either way, my wife was furious, and now she has to wait another year until performing again. Have you ever got into difficulty due to the cock-up with a fax machine? All the best, guys. Tom. No. No, Tom. There's a reason we don't use real physical fax machine. To be fair, they are reliable. It just sounds like someone at the event, this dancing event, was just being a dickhead and didn't check the fax machine for whatever reason. But they are fabulously reliable, and that's why they're still used, right? They're still here. I think the first fax machine was like 1982 or something. I can't remember the exact date, but they're still here now, 40 years later, and people use them. And in the real estate business, my friend Alex, Alex Shapiro, he uses it for his like real estate company. It's like you need one to actually operate in the real estate world here, because deals get done with fax machines. Very bizarre.
Yeah, I bet. But, I mean, like it people sort of absolutely love the not instantaneous kind of nature of fax machines. I guess, is it easier to use than, would you say it was easier to use than actual email address and stuff like that? Because you've just got a phone number, everyone's got a public phone number. If I wanted to send it to somebody's company, so say the holding company who owns your building, they will have a public phone number and they will have a public fax number, and I could presumably fax something to that building and say, there's a right wrong in the building and get you in trouble. And I couldn't do that. Like, people are a bit more guarded from their emails because there's so much more spam. But then you get spam on fax machines. I can't figure it out, Chris.
No, I know what you're like, Pete. You would abuse the fax machine. You just draw a massive penis or something on a bit of paper, stuff it in, and then that would come out the other side. I see the appeal of fax machines in some respect. Like, they do it for contracts because it just comes out the other end, printed, signed, sealed, delivered, job done, right? Yeah. Whereas email, you've still got to print it off. You've still got a few stages to do. Whereas the fax machine cuts out the middleman. Again, though, I think it's time to live in a world where we take paper out of the equation, right? There's a huge amount of wastage. In most contracts, you know, it's nice to have a... digital copies are nice, and I feel like it's just so much paper wastage in Japan because of fax machines, printers, the way the culture operates. Like, South Korea and China have moved to digital. Japan hasn't, and that's kind of annoying in more ways than one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, fax machines, old tech. The story of the week that you've got for us this week, Pete, involves technology of the future. And Japan, of course, weirdly bounces between using old, outdated technology and also having one foot firmly in the future. What we got, though? Fill us in.
Well, you know, like, have you seen these massive giant billboards that if you look up at them in the right sort of direction, With the right perspective, they can look insanely 3D.
Right.
There was like,
you know, I've not seen it yet. There's one in Shibuya and Shinjuku, I think.
Yeah. Well, there was a famous one in Korea, I think, that had a cat that would just be sat in there for fucking ages. Like, it's a really impressive high-definition 3D, and it's a 3D display. And it's a flat screen, but it's kind of like across two parts of a building, two sides of a building, basically. And if you view it at a certain angle, because of the way that it is broadcasting its signal, broadcast, like the way it's done its animation perspective. Mm. If you look from a certain perspective, it looks seriously impressive. It looks like the building is a cavity and there's an actual massive cat in there. But anyway, we've got one in Shibuya now, and giant puppies are running around, dicking about with frisbees in the Tokyo skyline. There are massive fucking puppies running around. It's an Akita dog 3D clockwork clock. 8 gigantic monitors. The whole set is used for like animated sequences of this dog sort of frolicking around. I really want to see it. I'm not going to see it forever. It'll be gone by the time I get in there, which is very upsetting. But the clock part of the project refers to how the sequence plays out. It plays every hour on the hour from 7 a.m. to midnight. It's a real event. It's a real event where people sort of go up and take pictures and film it and stuff like that. It's incredible looking. But it's just massive, basically. So the giant 3D cat was actually a few stops away in the Shinjuku neighborhood. But give it a Google. This massive fucking puppy running around playing with frisbees in the Tokyo skyline in Shibuya is well worth checking out. It's amazing.
If you look up giant puppies Tokyo skyline 3D billboard, you'll be blown away by it. It doesn't even look real. I've still never seen one of these, actually. I've still never seen the cat one in Shibuya. Shinjuku. I've never gone out and seen it. I do want to see it, though. Like, I'm fascinated by this technology. Like, this is like the future, but I feel like if it only works from one angle, then it sort of makes it all a bit rubbish. Like, does it only work from one angle? Can you see it from anywhere?
So there's one part that looks really 3D and it looks pretty amazing. But then there's like, what they've done is they've taken the advertising hoardings, or the animated advertising hoardings, for four different spots around kind of basically Shibuya Crossing.
And so you've got
the cat one that was up in Shinjuku. This one's slightly different in that there's a bit of 3D in there, but there's also like dogs just arrive at every hour and they frolic in between the buildings. So there's like four or five different screens, and it looks like it's just one screen and the dog's running through the building and it's absolutely massive. And it's for, I think it's for HIT, which I think is a massive agency. It's a massive advertising agency or something like that. It's pretty amazing, but hopefully the dog gets along with the cat that's up the road in Shinjuku as well.
Imagine just a cat and a dog violently fighting above the
ripping the
Shibuya
shit out
skyline
each other.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Like, I was in Shinjuku. I was in Shibuya last week.
Shibuya,
and it's just changed so much. Like, when you come over in a million years, I think you're going to notice a change or two. Like, since you've been here, or since you were last here in 2020, there's been, like, I think 4 new skyscrapers in Shibuya, let alone fucking 3D dogs and cats. they're changing the station big time. Like, you'll notice, like, it's like a whole different place. They've really gentrified the hell out of it. And in many ways, it's nicer and easier to get around, but it's kind of lost some of the gritty alleyways that I used to love in Shibuya. Like, Shibuya's a bit of a seedy, gritty place, or it felt like it was, and now it's not. It's a nice place with 3D Akita dogs on big screens and nice, clean alleyways, but it's changed a lot. You're going to find that out. Mm. You're going to see.
Yeah. There you go.
If you come, when you come to Tokyo, you normally stay in Shibuya, right? In an Airbnb?
With a big dog. Just a big dog.
Why do you choose Shibuya?
Just busy, good bars. Just a lot of opportunities to get absolutely pissed.
That is the Pete Donaldson way.
Correct. That's where I've seen the big 3D one in Shinjuku. They've changed it to a Pokemon Go display, and so there's this massive I don't know what the fucking character is called, but he's kind of looking out and stuff, and it looks very impressive. So yeah, there's a new Pokemon Go display. I cannot believe Pokemon Go is still. I can't believe, like, is Pokemon Go the 3D kind of Zelda-y one? It's like free roaming one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pokemon Go, the new one, right? Yeah.
I never got into it, but Charlotte still plays it whenever we go out down the street. She's got it out in the countryside and stuff. Like, I kind of get the appeal of it to some extent. Like, it encourages you to go out and explore. Like, we were in the middle of nowhere the other day in Yamagata going to see Natsuki, and we were driving up a mountainside, and she was like, stop the car! I was like, what? Oh my God, what's wrong? She's like, there's a Gyarados over there in the tree. And I was like, what's that? And she got the fucking Pokemon Go app and started rummaging through a forest to get some bloody Pokemon. And I was like, what is this? Why am I here? I don't want to sit here while you catch imaginary non-physical creatures. I didn't sign up for this. But
I'm
don't
a physical creature. I like the fact that you can get you can now get like fake GPS pieces of software as well, just designed for Pokemon Go, so you can be anywhere in the world.
Oh my God!
You know, just do it from your. Well, I mean, what is the point? What's the bloody point, man?
Go out and catch yourself. Real people. Go and catch real people. That's much more fun.
Put them in a Pokemon hunter. Ball.
Yeah. Bounty hunter, yeah. I mean, I remember when Pokemon Go was initially released in Sendai. I went to Sendai Station once, and there was just like must have been about 150 people or something out the front of the station, and it was a crowd that I'd never normally, you know, I hadn't seen that before. So I thought, oh shit, are the trains stopped? Is there a problem with the bullet trains? Is there an earthquake? Yeah. And then I looked at their phones to try and see, you know, sneakily, what's the news? Yeah. And they're all just trying to catch a Pikachu. And I was like, oh, okay, this is very weird. Oh, and I played it for like 5 minutes and decided it wasn't for me. And I decided to return to the physical world. But I get it. I get people like it. It's just I'm an old, miserable, grumpy person, and it's not aimed specifically at me. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine. Not a real fax machine. It's just an inbox. Thank God.
Yep. Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Pete Donaldson? Shoot.
We got a message from, let me just scroll down, Dominic. Hello, Dominic. Big D. Dear Affable Chris and Japan Exiled Pete, longtime podcast listener, Dominic from lovely Vienna here. I have quite a simple question for both of you. What are your experiences with sleeping on futons? What are the positives and what are the negatives of sleeping on futons? Thank you. I'm wishing you a lovely day, Dominic.
I mean, I like futons to some extent. Mm. I prefer beds. I do sleep. My sleep efficiency rating, which is something I've just made up, is higher when I go to sleep on a futon. Like I don't know why. Maybe it's because of the hard surface. Maybe it's just knowing you can't fall out of bed, which is weirdly, I've never done it, but I fear it. I fear it a lot. With futons, the floor is your bed, right? The floor is your oyster. And
same with alcoholism, mate.
Yeah, it's probably that as well. But I just sleep really well on them. But I don't like sleeping on them long term. I mean, I slept on it for 3 years when I first moved here and I was a teacher. And I had to get it out of a cupboard every single morning. I had to get it out of the cupboard every evening and put it away in the morning, right? If I wanted to have a usable living room, because it was very small. My sitting room and my bedroom were one and the same. And it's quite weird just rolling out this like crappy mattress every day and sleeping on it. But I slept very well on it. It's probably the best 3 years of sleep I've ever had. But I like it. What about you? You a fan?
I mean, I'll happily sleep on. I'll sleep on the floor because it's just better for your back, innit? It's just more like I'm not a man who has a massive bad back, but I don't mind sleeping on the floor as long as I don't get irritated by the dust. Sometimes the floors can be a little dusty when you are when you're a cheapskate and renting really cheap places.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I think pros are you'll sleep nicely and it's supposed to be good for your back, futons, from what I hear. The downside is often they just take up a lot of room because you'll often have to unfold them into the communal area. So like if you stay at Ryokan, the area that you sit in, have dinner, roll around in, is also the place where you'll unfold the futon and sleep at night. So space, that's an issue. Chris, hello, Cristobal, Chris and Pedro Pete. My name's Val and I come from a country where PDA is common and not frowned upon. More often than not, you'll see people holding hands, hugging and passionately kissing in a public place. My question is, can people share a kiss on the streets? Can LGBTQIA+ people share their love publicly? And if not, how would you be able to take safety measures when dating strangers? Lots of love, hugs and kisses from Santiago in Chile. Or Chile, as they say in every other country. It's not the
Chile.
UK. Chile! What do you think, Pete? Can you kiss in the street? What's going to happen?
I don't think much will happen, to be honest. Again, it's one of those questions where it's actually quite hard for us to comment on because I don't think I've ever kissed anyone in Japan. Oh, what a shame!
I don't think I've ever kissed anyone in general.
But I think and fundamentally we're not from those protected groups. So I think there was a story this week where a politician was fucking going off on one about not codifying rights for gay people, etc., into law, puts everyone at risk and stuff like that. Like if politicians are able to kind of to feel comfortable expressing that kind of view, it kind of tells you a big story about how those groups are received in Japan with certain generations. But I think if you're in the major cities, no one's going to bat an eyelid. I'm almost certain of that.
You see people holding hands here, but I mean, like, public displays of affection in Japan are just, like, a lot rarer. No. You don't really see it. The only time I see it is at night, like, after 9 p.m. when the streets are quiet. People have had a drink and they're kissing in the street then. Mm. But you see couples holding hands, but yeah, no, like, that sort of thing is very rare here. Don't be surprised by that when you get here. Well, don't feel like you can't do it. Just be aware that people might stare at you and it might feel a bit uncomfortable because it is so rare, right? You know, people kissing in the street here. Yeah, it's one of the sad things about Japan, really. Or good, some people don't like seeing it, you know. I've seen couples like slobbering over each other on trains and things in the UK and it's just like, nah, I don't want to see that. Kiss, but not like that. Oh. You know, I kind of get it to some extent, but Japan takes it to the extreme. And that's unfortunate. We got one here from Alan. Alan from Dublin. He says, "Dear charismatic Chris and pleasant Pete, on my recent travel to..." I've just realised that, like, everyone always finds an adjective. They all nearly every story we've read out in the last year, they've put something in front of my name and your name. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good. I like being charismatic,
very
Chris.
Creative listeners.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got the most creative listenership of any podcast in the world, goddammit, and I want everyone to know.
So.
On my recent travel to Japan, I noticed a lot of stares at this time. We were travelling with our four-month-old son. My question to you, Chris, is, did you get many stares directed at you when you first started living in Japan, and did it bother you much? All the best, guys. Alan from Dublin. I mean, I found, living in the countryside, that people did stare at me a lot. And it got to me a fair bit, actually, in the first year or two when I was dealing with anxiety issues. I'd stand at like a road crossing and you'd look up and all the cars waiting would just sort of like, everyone was just staring at you and you could feel the eyes on you. But, you know, it's just an irrational, weird sort of fear to have, and I let it get to me a bit too much. Now I don't care, but it's just those first sort of 2 years, it did get to me, especially if I was having a bad day. But you just have to rationalise it. Like, out in the countryside, you don't see folks who aren't Japanese, right?
Yeah.
I'm going through the supermarket where I lived, and there was like a foreign guy wandering around it once in Yamagata, and I was like, hey, what the fuck is this? Who is that? How did they get here? How's this happening? Because it's just so damn rare. So, you know, that's the way to accept it. I don't know why they were staring at your four-month-old son, given that you're probably travelling in places like Tokyo, Kyoto, Osaka. Maybe they, you know, they don't... Well, foreigners aren't that rare in the major cities. Maybe foreign kids are, so that could be a factor. Maybe they're just like, wow, that's what a foreign kid looks like. That's what a four-month-year-old boy looks like. Not in Japan. It's a goy. I don't know. What do you think, Pete?
I just think... I'm a terrible people watcher, so I can't complain. Someone's looking at me. I'm always looking at people. Fascinating. Fascinating stuff.
Very bizarre. Keep stories, questions, comments coming in, guys, to brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, so all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be listening from out in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan podcast. And with Journey Across Japan coming out this weekend, we should be talking about that next week as well. Check it out. For now, guys, have a good one. Bye for now.
Bye.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.